VentureCast.
Meanwhile, Flannery is in Florida with a friend. Patrick is in Costa Rica on a school trip. And the robot lady is in Italy on a school trip. So right now, at home, it's me and Henny.
Hi.
Henry, I said, what do you want to do last night? And he's like, I want to go to a restaurant I've never been to before. I said, okay, what restaurant? The Olive Garden.
Nice.
Let's go.
Unlimited breadsticks. A
lot of breadsticks.
Are you Tim, are you both wearing pants at the current moment?
We're in, yeah. Both wearing pants so far.
A+ parenting. Very impressive.
Still, I disagree. You've got to lead by example, Timmy. No pants. Come on, the ladies aren't home. Let's pan it up.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
There it is. Boom. Woohoo, fellas! We are recording. How are you?
Feeling good, Timmy. Ready to do this.
Ben Martin in Knoxville, Tennessee. Jeff Simons, how are you?
Feeling like 68%, got a head cold, but totally ready to do this.
Okay.
I don't think I explained to you guys that from January 15th to March 1st, I went in a month and a half dryuary.
Oh, you did it. Wow. Nice job.
So yeah. So the last three or four times we've done this, I've been sober.
Yes.
Tonight, not so much. a group of students bid on a dinner with myself and my colleague Glenn Reynolds, and so we took them out, had two bottles of wine amongst us, had a couple of drinks, so I'm definitely ready to roll tonight.
I love it. And you sir have a bit of pressure on you as we move into your current home state of Tennessee. Right? Don't you feel pressure?
I feel no pressure whatsoever. No, I'm at home. I don't feel pressure at home.
Let me tell you, with the New England trilogy, I felt a lot of pressure. I had to represent.
That's because New England sucks. Tennessee's amazing.
Oh, my God. I am...
Tim wanders into the first jab inspired by two bottles of wine.
I am overwhelmed by Nashville choices. I mean, what the heck? Everybody just goes to Nashville? That's not fair. How do I choose? There are too many,
It's a rich load. It's an amazing town.
Amazing town. Jeff Simons, you're at 68%. We're going to try to get you up to 85%. Tell us the latest news on the EP, because I know you've done the final mixes.
Next? But the really exciting, I guess the most exciting next thing is Friday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. My first new music on ElectriCast comes out. It's an original single. It's called 48 Lines About 12 Men. And it's dedicated to Craig Finn of The Hold Steady. So hopefully he'll hear it.
And who else is it dedicated to?
Oh, it's dedicated to Tim and Ben, unquestionably.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah.
The opening line is my hometown.
Inspired by real life events.
Thank you.
No, I'm really excited about it. It turned out great. And the label's been terrific. And we'll see what happens. We'll see if anybody can listen to it. And then, this summer... The next thing after that will be the first in the series of 50 years of music podcast EPs, cover versions of songs that we've talked about. So that's
so
going to be really super
fun. I cannot wait for March 17th. All of the 50 years of music social media sites will all be turned to promotion.
That is really beyond generous, my brother. Thank you.
Being what they are. Yeah, we could do that. Maybe we could write some promo material with like one of those chat GT things. Those things work.
Way ahead of you.
Those things work really well.
A musician is a person who sings songs for money
Well, welcome to 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys. We are here on the ElectriCast Podcast Network. Super excited to bring you Nashville, Tennessee. Our musical road trip has moved into Tennessee. We're in the Southeast for the first time, and Nashville is indeed Music City. You know what we're going to be playing, Jeff Simons, as we land in Nashville or as Ben drives over?
I have no idea. What do you got for me?
The old 97s, Nashville.
It's a good one.
It's such a
hard choice.
Let's go.
Let's go indeed.
married Caroline back in May of 99. It was fucked up at the time, but I figured we'd keep trying. Her brother and her dad, they were spitting mad when I packed up what I had and took off running. It was bad, it was mean, I didn't care, and it's gotten me nowhere. So I'm trying to be a better man. I turn left, turns into right, I turn sunshine into night. I got my ass kicked every fight, no I couldn't get it right. I built castles out of sand, I didn't understand why everything I planned ran like whiskey off my hands. And my hands were never clean, things I wish I'd never seen. I'd do anything to wake up from this motherfucking dream. Food I got to blow, drink it in this fucking show.
Kicking butt. Do you guys like the old 97s? I'm not familiar with them. Thumbs up from Jeff.
Not familiar with them? They're such a Timmy band. You'd love them.
Really? Oh, my bad. Okay.
Oh, my God. How many times have you seen the old 97s, Ben?
Five. They're fantastic.
Oh,
right. I like the solo albums. I love them. And
Rhett Miller.
I was going to note, like, such a great middle-aged old 97 song. That song, it's one of my favorites. I absolutely love that. He's got so many songs about regretting all of the many errors that he's made, and it's like the same beat, just slowed down, and it's acoustic instead of electric. Like, just fantastic. The Great Barrier Reef, all the earlier stuff.
I've seen them three times, and they're one of those bands that I've seen accidentally twice, like 6 o'clock at night, someone's like, hey, I've got a ticket to the old 97s. You want it? I'm like, yep. Like, I've seen them twice where I didn't plan on it. But they're consistently terrific as a live and concert band. Just bring it. They just, like, play in every song like, that's it. This is the last song they ever get to play in front of people.
And, dude, Jeff, wasn't your... Timmy, you must have heard this. Wasn't your second wedding song I remember? I got a question.
What? My wedding song?
I've got a question for you. Jeff, wasn't the I've Got a Question for You Tonight?
No, it was You and I by Wilco.
No, but am I dreaming this, that you had we had an argument about the old 97 song?
No, you're dreaming it. I do love that song, though. It's great. You couldn't use it for your wedding song after they used it in Scrubs.
Fair.
That was, that sounds great. That record, Satellite Rides, that's a great record.
Yeah, and right. Valentine's on that one too, right?
Yep.
And Crash in the Barrelhead.
Yep. Buick City Complex.
Yeah.
Just
all right,
Timmy.
Tomorrow,
I can't believe
morning.
You're not clued into this band. You just found your new favorite band.
I'm so excited
because like 30 of their songs. It's gonna
I'm on spring break, so it's Get Tim in Shape Week. I've got 2 days out of two down so far, so old 97s will be playing tomorrow, getting me to the finish line. All right, the population of Nashville, Tennessee. I am putting the over under at 550,000. Jeff Simons, are you going over or under?
City limits under,
just city
area over. So under then, city limits under.
Okay, Ben Barton. Agree?
I think the city's that whole county, so I'm going to say over. And also, it's a boom town. Boom town, as I'll discuss.
Booming. It's 692,000 in Nashville proper. It gets bigger as you go. Founded in 1779 for Francis Nash, general from the Revolutionary War. The good war. Nashville will be involved in another war later. But moving right along, shall we go right to the torture basement, Jeff Simons?
I suppose we should.
I'm
going to tell you in advance, if Sean Mullins' Rockabye is not in this mix, I'm going to be so pissed at you.
It's not, so.
How can you leave out? It's kind of like Nashville with a tan. Like, that is my favorite Nashville.
That's a terrible miss by me, I tell you. All right.
That's okay.
We've got 14 songs that mention Nashville. You've got to get 10. And in honor of Ricky Valero, who first brought us in.
Who launched us, really.
To a podcast network. I'm coming off the top rope with the first one, a wrestling term, because there's no way you're getting this first song.
Okay. And then Ricky's having, I don't know if you guys are still friends with him on Twitter.
He's booming. He's booming.
Yeah, it's great.
He no longer misses us because he's moved on, which is good news for all of us.
Go, Ricky.
All right, here we go, Ben. You ready?
Yep.
She's a long way from a West Nashville grand ballroom gal. Be a star tomorrow, but today I'm a Nashville bum.
Moonlight on the same, memories of Tennessee, Nashville's in the rain.
Let's give old Tennessee credit for music.
They
play it up in Nashville every day.
They live in Nashville. They drive a coupe de ville.
Oh, I know that one.
I got a sweet little thing that I'm dying to see in Nashville.
This is to me this lonely avenue down in Nashville. The sick suspicion.
Definitely not a Nashville party.
I got names of artists, but no song titles. So
you don't need song titles. Remember, in the torture basement, you merely need the artist name. I am so excited because you looked confused on one,
I'm completely confused. We get a second pass. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you need a second pass, Ben?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Glad to hear it.
Aren't there two Counting Crows songs? Am I dreaming?
Yes, there are, I think.
Okay,
We bookend with the Crows.
I can't believe I missed Nashville with a tan. I'm really upset with myself. Darn it.
That's okay. We still love you. Okay, all right. Number one, I have absolutely no idea at all.
That's the worst song in the history of the world. Nashville Cats. Loving Spoonful with number one.
Oh! Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's tough out here.
It's tough.
And this ain't the Nashville I know. I have no idea either.
I had Waylon Jennings.
Let's guess Waylon Jennings. I love it.
It is Kid Rock.
Oh, wow.
I'm actually going to make you listen to part of that song in just a second.
No, we're done with that. Thanks for that.
All right. Number three is Indigo Girls.
This is my hobby, Timmy. I don't have to listen to that for work. You know what I mean?
Three is Indigo Girls.
Yeah. I was going to get that one.
All right. Do number four.
Counting Crows.
Excellent.
No idea.
I believe that is Maestro Jimmy Buffett. Am I right about that?
It is Jimmy.
Oh, I had Jimmy Buffett later. That's the five is the Jimmy Buffett one. Okay, great.
That was Jimmy Buffett. It is so
Let's guess Waylon Jennings for number six, too.
That'll work.
It Waylon is indeed Waylon Jennings.
Come on, Jeff.
Let's go, Nashville Bum. And then you'll have the next one.
Number seven, you got that one?
No,
country girl in Paris. That is John Denver. Please turn off your mic. All right. What about what's next?
That's Carl Perkins.
Gosh darn it! And then Ben, you got the next one at the very.
No, I thought it was Jimmy Buffett. So I'm going to wait on Jeff.
Oh, it's Lyle Lovett.
Lyle Lovett. It's correct. I'm in trouble. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have. Who's next?
Eight is Sunvolt.
Sunvolt. And then
Miley Cyrus.
Wait, there's one before my.
What's
Cyrus.
The weird rock band song? I have no idea, Tim.
That is Ben Folds singing Hornby lyrics. Yeah, apparently Ben Folds did an album with Nick Hornby. where he.
Oh yeah, I like that record.
Yeah,
I didn't remember that song at all.
Miley Cyrus, I gave you just the smallest sliver.
Definitely not a Nashville party. I know that went backwards and forwards.
All right.
And then next is Gillian Welch.
Oh, you killed me. Gillian all right. Welch.
And then Jason Isbell. And then 11. I believe the Counting Crows again.
Bring it home with the Counting Crows. You both escaped the torture basement this week.
Mostly due to Jeff again. Well done, Jeffrey well K. Done. Simons.
Well
yeah, we got
done.
12.
Yeah, you really knocked good. It out of the park. With your
you put the lotion in the basket, Tim.
All right, I have a couple questions that music people, I hope, can answer. What is the Nashville sound?
That's a transitory thing, right? When you greet Jeff, has changed over time.
Okay, say more.
The movie Nashville is a great picture of the 70s version of the Nashville sound. Heavy, heavy, heavy lap steel guitar, very slow beat, cheesy, not very likable in my
opinion. Okay. Is there an artist or a song who embodies that for you? Is that like Charlie Pride or something?
We're like 70s Loretta Lynn, basically.
Okay.
Sounds exactly like that.
Oh, that's a perfect choice.
But basically, yeah. It's a collection of songwriters and musicians who are excellent. And by the time you get to the last 20 years, you get the, you know, Jack White moving there and you get Ben Folds moving there. And it's just a place where musicians come and you get and Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift. Like you just get a whole blend of different people. You get acts who come to Nashville just to play with these unbelievable players and hang out with the songwriters and do it all. I mean, Belinda Carlisle, I said I went and saw her at the Ryman. She did a week long at the Ryman. She lived in Nashville for 3 months while she recorded it and hung out with the High Women. And so it's just a magnet for music. And it's not L.A. or New York. It's a smaller town than those places. Still has cool coffee and good restaurants and stuff. And so the sound is just really branched out, I think.
Yep. And it's one of those places where you go into a random place on a Tuesday night and see like one of the best guitar players you've ever seen. And then he packs up and runs across the street to play with somebody else. Like it's a 7 nights a week music town where the music is top shelf.
Well, I was just talking to my friend Ellen True. You may remember her as a bridesmaid at our wedding, Jeff. And she grew up in Nashville and she talks about like, you just walk down the street and there's a busker who's like, one of the greatest musicians you know you've ever seen, or you've got the waiter at your restaurant or the bartender, and the whole town. It's like a town of musicians, which is such a different experience from someone, say, grown up in Annapolis or someone grown up. Well, indeed. I guess Brooklyn probably has a bunch of musicians in Brooklyn.
Yeah, but they have a bunch of other stuff too. I mean, Nashville's Music City. Like they're not kidding about it.
Yeah, So she loved it and. Quite the fan of the Grand Ole Opry. Could either of you explain the Grand Ole Opry for me? Something as a Northerner I heard about, but I think avoided at all costs.
It's a showcase stage. It was like a place where if you got to the top of the pyramid in country music, you would get to do a showcase performance there at a built-in audience. I believe it was the Louisiana Hayride, which was a nationally syndicated radio show in the early days of radio, was broadcast from the Grand Ole Opry. And so it was like the Carnegie Hall of country music. Like if you got to the Grand Ole Opry, you were taking off. And it just
go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I just had an incredibly high standard for performance.
And basically all over the country, they had these variety shows where, you know, on a Saturday night or a Friday night or whatever in Knoxville, Tennessee, the grocer Kaz Walker had a radio show where people would come on and play their songs and stuff. And so the Grand Ole Opry was one of those. And then it got to be syndicated. And so it was one of the first sort of national radio shows where it was a huge deal. Like your song could chart on the country charts if you played it on
that radio show. That's amazing. Totally. So you both have been to Nashville, correct?
Yeah, a bunch of times.
Okay. Have both of you been to the Ryman Auditorium?
I have, yeah.
Pretty?
I have not, sadly.
Oh, it's really cool. It's super old and there's a lot of obstructed view seats.
Okay.
And it's basically like an old church. But that being said, yeah, it's fantastic. Acoustics are great. It's uncomfortable to sit, so a lot of people stand. It's a great place to see a show.
Right. So What about the Grand Ole Opry House? Have you been there, Ben?
No, I have not been there.
No. Jeff Simons, did you guys play? Did Rich Price play Nashville?
No, we never did.
No?
I wish we had. That'd have been great.
Because I'm here.
We were booked into a tour, and then we got yanked from it before we got to play Nashville.
Oh, because of Ashley Simpson. Someday we're gonna have to talk about Ashley Simpson's music career and how it submarined you.
Ah.
Okay, or not.
They made the right choice. They made a lot more money off of Ashley Simpson than they were making off Rich Price. You know?
I can't name an Ashley Simpson song. There's also other venues famous in Nashville, the Station Inn, the Bluebird Cafe, Robert's Western World. Anyone been to those?
I've not.
All right, but my goal, because my daughter, Martha, has come across 2 Taylor Swift tickets. She can't go. She was going to go to see Taylor Swift in Nashville.
Wow.
And she can't go. And so she's wanting to know if the family wants them. Should I buy 2 Taylor Swift tickets for Nashville?
Hell yeah. I'll pay you for them. I'll go.
I haven't told you the price.
I'll pay you for them.
$300 a piece. What do you think?
Done and done.
You're in.
First of all, the resale market is like $2,000 on those. So, but I will actually go. I promise. I'm not going to resell them.
So, and Taylor Swift in Nashville is something to see.
For sure. She actually probably won't have as many guest stars as you think because it's going to be such a choreographed set. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's not a Springsteen show where she can just haul people on and do random songs. She's going to have 4 outfit changes. And I mean, I've seen her a couple of times. She's great. Great.
Can I tell you who's opening?
Help us out.
Phoebe Bridgers is opening.
Ooh, even tastier, who I have not seen. So now I'm double in.
All right.
Can you buy them and come with me?
I might. Yeah. My youngest daughter will kill me, but that's okay. We'll have a great old time. So top 5 things to do in Nashville. See if you agree. This is from our sponsor, TripAdvisor.com. They don't know they're our sponsor.
I was going to say, good call.
Yeah, number 1 is the Grand Ole Opry. You guys gonna go?
Totally gonna go. I think it's like visiting the Rockettes at Radio City at this point.
They turned it into a weird mall, though, so that's a little down on that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Ryman Auditorium is number 2. We're good there.
Come on, there you go. I'm that.
The Old Smoky Distillery and Yeehaw Brewery is the 3rd biggest attraction.
No, thank you. That's horrible. They don't have. There's a life size replica of the Parthenon, which is fantastic. They don't have that in there.
No. The Bellmead Historic Site and Winery is 4th, and the Country Music Hall of Fame is 5th.
Oh, these suck. Those are bad.
Nice.
You're out on those. Okay.
Yeah. No.
What about the RCA Studio B?
I haven't been to that, but I'd be willing to see that.
I would be willing to see that as well. Yeah,
that sounds really cool. All right.
Andrew Jackson House, the Hermitage, is not in Nashville, but it's 15 minutes away. And Andrew Texas got some problems.
Yes.
In case you're wondering, he's got some problems. He's got some problems. That being said, the Hermitage is pretty cool.
I tell you what, teaching Andrew Jackson this year is so much fun because there's so many stories. And just, I had all the students go out in the hall and we recreated one of his duels. So great. My God, did I miss him?
So I was on the board of the Bijou Theater here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of the oldest buildings in Knoxville. And it's been at different times, the courthouse and the main inn and the bar. And Andrew Jackson was the president. It was the main thing in the middle of town. And it was the bar and the inn.
Uh-huh.
And they said that Andrew Jackson would ride into town from D.C. any time of day or night. And he would stop in at the bar because it was the first big spot in the state of Tennessee. Kick open the doors, shoot his muskets off, and say, "Boys, your president's home."
Boy, I hope that's a true story. That is the greatest thing I've ever heard. That's how I'm coming home tomorrow from work.
That's right. I have a new story for next year. All right. Well, let's go to the favorite son or daughter segment of our podcast. And we're going to go with the favorite daughter of Nashville, Tennessee. Pennsylvania can't claim her. Nashville can. Taylor Swift moves to Nashville at the age of 14, the guitar in hand, to become a star, and she did it. So we have to play the most popular artist and their most popular song. Jeff Simons, you've mentioned before that Taylor Swift has a good kind of pop instinct. would you please play Shake It Off for us?
Yes, I will. That's not her most popular song
on
Spotify.
Number one, no way.
Wait, what? What do you have?
Blank Space is over a billion.
Oh, still
Shake It Off's at a paltry 964 million.
All right, Blank Space it is. Not a pop song.
Nice to meet you. Where you been? I could show you incredible things. Magic, madness, heaven, sin. Saw you there and I thought, oh my God, look at that face. You look like my next mistake. Love's a game, wanna play. Make the bad guys good for a weekend. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the high was worth the pain. Got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane. Cause you know I love the players, and you love the game. Cause we're young and we're reckless, we'll take this way too far. It'll leave you breathless.
Woo!
Let's go.
It's the most played song. That's amazing. That song is a banger. And how dare you not call that a pop song, Timmy?
I was going to say.
No.
Such a pop song.
That was my ironic voice.
Oh. Good to hear.
What else would it be?
Fantastic about it is it still sounds great. That just sounds so good. How spare and empty it is. So you get the blom, blom. Awesome. When it came out, it sounded like nothing on the radio. It still sounds like nothing on the radio, and it's a gigantic hit that can't be imitated. Like, this is like, that's really like, that's like Prince Kiss level of pop. Right.
I was gonna say it's When Doves Cry level. Yeah.
Ben Barton, how are you not picking Taylor Swift?
Oh, I got a whole other thing going on, man.
Okay, because golly, you all right. All right. Well, I just wanna put you guys on the spot. In my research, I didn't realize how many artists go to Nashville to record albums, and I mean established artists, not just young up and comers hoping to make it. So the fact that Neil Young's Harvest was recorded in Nashville, REM's Document was recorded in Nashville, and Bob Dylan's John Wesley Harding was recorded in Nashville kind of blew me away.
So was Megan Slankard's California and Other Stories.
Let's go, Megan. Awesome.
Yeah. And is it Nashville Skyline Rag? Is that one from there too?
Yes, but I wanted to pick those three to see which album of those three is your favorite. Like, if you're going to like listen to one of those three tomorrow on your way to work, which one?
Wow, give us the Harvest, three again. It's Harding and what?
Harvest, Document, and John Wesley Harding. On the spot.
I have a very controversial take, which is Harvest is my favorite of those.
Is that
Harvest
controversial?
Is good. I would probably listen to Document, though.
Document? Like, I can't remember what's on which album.
Finest Work Song, Welcome to the Occupation.
Oh, that's great. It starts with an earthquake.
That's on Document?
Yes.
That's also on it. And yeah. So happy with Harvest, Fireplace, Lightning Hopkins, Odd Fellows. It's a good record.
Wait, why Harvest? Why Harvest, Ben Barton?
I believe I've described my relationship with Neil Young in the past. That's one of those albums where I bought it and I was like, this is so fantastic. I'll buy the next three Neil Young albums. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, I really regret this. But yeah, no, Harvest is one of my all-time favorites. And the great India Kincannon, who's surely listening right now, is a gargantuan Harvest fan.
Big oh,
is that right?
Oh,
is
it, yeah.
Is her she favorite
Harvest
Man
Moon,
to
too, the real. No, she loves the slow country stuff. She's super into it. It's so pretty. That record is great.
Of a man. I like Harvest too. There's a couple songs in there that I have not aged super well, but I like the big rave up at the end words and the pop songs are undeniable.
Yeah.
John Wesley Harding's my least favorite of the three because it's so monochromatic and it's so stripped down. Like some of the songs are great, but it's it's a borderline demo, you know, like
why is Dylan because he also records Blonde on Blonde in Nashville. Why that's three albums that he records in Nashville. What's he doing down this away?
Well, he went to Nashville to play with the Session Cats in 66 for Blonde on Blonde, but Harding's the first thing he does after the motorcycle wreck and after holding up with the band. And it's so underwhelming if you've heard the Basement Tapes. You know, he didn't use any of those amazing songs he wrote with them. And I mean, it's got All Along the Watchtower, which is great, and Wicked Messenger, and I Pity the Poor Immigrant. There's a bunch of great songs on it. But it, you know, especially coming off the hot streak that ends with Blonde on Blonde, it's definitely like a, that's just...
Well, it also, it hurts your feelings when Watchtower is the best song on the record, and it's like the 18th best version of it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Amen to that.
All right, gentlemen, we have made it to the individualized portion of our podcast. What is your favorite album, singer, song, venue, movement when you think about Nashville?
Well, I should probably go first because Ben's going to have a much deeper, richer answer, I think.
Okay.
So I looked at the list of all the Nashville artists and all the Nashville bands and all the songs about Nashville and albums recorded in Nashville. And I kept coming back to a guy who I didn't know had Nashville roots. I attribute this guy to being a Georgia artist. And so I'm going to talk about him not as a member of the band, which he gave his name to and for which he's most famous, but he's equally impressive as a session musician. And so I'm going to take a couple minutes to recommend that our listeners go back and check out the guitar playing of Duane Allman. Duane Allman was born in Nashville and then sent to military school in Lebanon, Tennessee at 14 years old with his brother. And when they
That must have been a really good time for him.
I mean, right? And when they ran away from that, they couldn't come back home. And I guess that's when they find their way out to Georgia. But Allman Brothers bands are steeped in Macon, Georgia and creating their thing. But one of the things people don't maybe know about Duane Allman is he's a guest until his tragic, untimely death in 1971 on a whole lot of incredible recordings by some very famous people. He plays for Aretha. He is the second guitar on the Derek and the Dominoes record, which was supposed to be an Eric Clapton project and becomes an Eric and Duane project. He did tons of session work. There's actually a 7-CD box set of all of Duane Allman's session work that just came out.
Wow.
I don't recommend that. That's a lot. But there is one. I want to play one song for you. This is, I think, just a classic kind of lost great track. I don't hear people talk about this often. In 1969, Allman sits in on the sessions for a guy from a soul singer from San Francisco making his first record named Boz Scaggs. And this first Boz Scaggs record is really spotty for me. Like, I'm not a huge Boz Scaggs guy, but it closes with this epic track called Loan Me a Dime. And Duane is the response guitar on the entire track. And it's just one of my favorite, just extemporaneous guitar parts where he's obviously just in complete improv the entire track. By the end of the song, the band goes to double time. There's a horn section. Skaggs is smashing away at the piano, and Duane steals the show regardless. Just one brilliant pass through the chords after another. Duane Allman is still the slide guitarist against which every electric slide player is measured, which is incredible. 52 years later, there really isn't a slide guitar player that has replaced the pantheon of Duane Allman's playing. But I actually equally love when Duane isn't playing slide, which he isn't on this track. He bends notes like a singer. He's one of those few guys who plays the guitar like somebody singing. And I think he outshines Skaggs on Boz's own track. But I love Duane Allman's playing. I love the Allman Brothers, especially up through 71, just a lot. I can't believe how often I go back to the handful of recordings that Allman made before he died. And I just love the way he plays the guitar here. So I'm going to just give that's my pick. Here's the end, the last minute of Loan Me a Dime with
Woo!
Wow, that's cooking.
That's great stuff.
I'll take the Blues Breakers. Like, that just
right.
Sounds
fantastic. He's like the only white guitar player I've ever heard who sounds a little like B.B. King. You know, he's got that same trill and bend, but then he's got all this like emerging like psychedelic hard rock in the tone. And I just feel like he's switching. He's such a hybrid of like old fashioned blues and modern psychedelic rock playing. And he's such an old soul, you know, like he doesn't play like a 20. He's 24 years old when he dies. He's 22 on that track, you know, and he's just playing with.
That's like insane. He's 22.
Yeah. So much. I guess being in military school at 14 will teach you a thing or two about suffering, but yeah, one of my all-time favorites. And it's just a tragedy that he's like Hendrix. It's like one of those guys who was really inventing what guitar could be as a rock instrument. And he passes away and leaves behind some sounds and some ideas that other people picked up. But I would have loved to have heard what he was doing by the time he was like, say, 30.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah. Good stuff. All right. So Dwayne and Greg Allman both grew up in Nashville. Pretty good start. Ben Barton, what do you have?
So one of the great joys of having lived all over the country and lived a bunch of different places is you get to know whole different regions. And Nashville's been amazing that way. Like, it's the capital of the state. And we've lived in Knoxville since 2001, and India goes there all the time for work. And I go there regularly with work. The Tennessee Bar Association convention is obviously frequently held in Nashville. They're located there. I've spoken at the TBA, I don't know, a lot of times. And then I've seen Springsteen there. We've gone there on vacation. We've just been there regularly. It's been crazy to see the town change. So from 2001 to maybe 2008, 9, 10, it was really kind of a sleepy town. Like, the metro area is smaller than Memphis. It's the capital and it's Music City, but that's basically what it has going on. It's been like Shanghai between 2010 and now. Like, it's must have gone up by another 75% in population. It's a total boom town. Friend of the pods and listeners, Scott and Lisa, who own a furniture store in Knoxville, opened a furniture store in Nashville and just raked money in. Just raked it in. Having fancy furniture store in Nashville has been great. And their stories are unbelievable. Like, you know, Steve Tyler came in to buy furniture from them. Taylor Swift's been in there. Every famous person has been through there to buy furniture from them. So it's weird to have seen it turn into this like crazy boom town. And in fact, India will sometimes hear on the campaign trail, don't Nashville, Knoxville. Like, it's an actual thing that we're looking not to become because it's boomed so much. But on the other hand, it is kind of likable. Like, the food scene there is super cool. The coffee scene there is super cool. The music scene there is off the hook. It's funny. Knoxville, Tennessee is the capital of Appalachia, and it's where the Scotch-Irish decided to settle. Just picture this. Like, they get off the boat in Virginia. They stop in Knoxville, and they're like, this rocky soil, this horrible, unworkable soil is perfect.
And I the had people no are not Scotch-Irish. I'm so excited. Should
we ride on to the plateau where there's like unbelievably good farmland, or maybe even all the way to the Delta where it's like the best farmland on earth is just a 5-day ride from us? No, we'll be staying. Three grand divisions in your Tennessee. And so Nashville's on the plateau. Love it. Huge soft spot in my heart. For the song, I decided not to choose an artist from Nashville because that's just too populated. I decided to choose songs about Nashville. So here are some ones that I kicked around. Nashville Skyline Rag, although there's no words. Down on Music Row by Dolly Parton is a great one about arriving in Nashville and trying to make it as a singer. And actually a kissin' cousin to that, more modern, Circles Around This Town by Maren Morris, which is about arriving in Nashville, looking for an apartment and trying to get a job as a singer-songwriter. Drive-By Trucker's Carl Perkins Cadillac, which tells the Sun Records story, and Nashville's the place where you want to go if you want to know what so is so. It's a great line about Nashville. But I settled on Steve Earle's South Nashville Blues.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Such
Steve
a great
Earle
one.
Grows up in, he's born in Virginia, grows up outside San Antonio, and he's in Nashville trying to make it as a guitarist as early as 18 or 19. plays with Guy Clark and is just kicking it around Nashville, writing songs, playing out. He finally gets signed. I'm pretty sure Guitar Town is about Nashville. And he descends into drug addiction at the same time as his country music career is taking off. So Guitar Town is a big hit. Copperhead Road's a big hit. And then his drug addiction is completely getting out of hand. He actually serves maybe a couple of months in jail. He's sentenced to a year and serves a couple of months, spends a lot more than that in rehab. And he has this four-year period where he completely drops out of sight. And he comes back with Train to Comin', and these are songs that he basically wrote during this period in rehab and in jail. And it's kind of a raw, just a hodgepodge collection. His first real record back is I Feel All Right. And it's a strong, strong, strong I've Recovered from Drugs record. And South Nashville Blues has got that. And but it was all not only that he kind of got off drugs and matured, he took the time to learn a lot how to play guitar. And so this is an a specific attempt to write a 1928 style song with the finger picking and the open tuning on the guitar and the I'm going to ask Jeff to start at a minute 20. It's a 2 minute and 20 second song. The entire song is fantastic. But you get the Lewis Street, and I go way down to the bottoms, and then I come back up again. Listen to that guitar.
How the devil lives on Lewis Street, I swear. Yeah, the devil lives on Lewis Street, I swear. I seen him rocking in his rocking chair. I started way up atop Lewis Street. And I walked down to the end. I started way up top and I walked down to the end. I'm going way down in the bottoms. I come back up again. Now mama told me, papa too. They both talk till they turn blue. When I got them old South Nashville blues again, I won't be satisfied until they light me up again.
I absolutely love that one. The first verse ends with, I got $100 and a pistol, everything I want and need to get me killed. Like, he's just telling this story of a rough night out in South Nashville. Yep. And it's just fantastic. I absolutely love this one.
I didn't know he could play guitar like that. Like, that's such a...
Oh, he's good, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy smokes. Picking and a grinning.
Yep.
Yeah, Steve Earle's... Ben and I disagree on when Steve Earle hits his high point. I think it's Transcendental Blues a couple of years later. Ben thinks this is the high point, but
it's pretty good.
It's quibbling, yeah. Right? I mean, there's just
right.
There's 5 years of terrific music, like all up and down and all around those records. And good for him. One of the great, great comeback stories. You know?
For sure. For sure. And dude, this record is dripping with him being grateful to be alive. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, right.
It's called I Feel All Right, and that song's about it too. But this one, oh, love it.
So Nashville's growth is for India a more of a cautionary tale than
yeah,
a
totally.
Model
Dude,
to
like
choose.
The traffic there is like just completely off the hook. It's a little bit like Atlanta or LA, where it's like you know 20 out of 24 hours there's a traffic jam getting through downtown Nashville.
Which wow. Is well, I was talking well,
to yeah, they don't have the infrastructure to handle a doubling in size.
Oh.
You know?
Jeff, thanks for asking. If India were here, she would say, you don't widen roads. That just makes the traffic worse. You have to create public transit and other things. But yeah, the infrastructure is not to fix the roads. They need to do something to have smart growth. Because it's just like, and the sprawl is brutal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like old farmland, like all the way down to Suwanee, which is, or where Bonnaroo is. Like
right,
Bonnaroo
right.
Is in Manchester, Tennessee. And that's now a bedroom community.
Yeah,
oh
they,
my gosh,
they had a big vote about public transit and it lost 2-1. I mean, it got killed.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, those big government commies.
But on the plus side, I hear drag shows are cheap.
Oh, listen, not called for.
Dude, I didn't do that. Like, I'm just like,
I know, stupid state, stupid fucking state.
Well, it's just so ridiculous. Like, how do you end up in the news for that? Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I, you know, whatever, but also like, you don't want to dominate the news cycle because of heady legislation like that, you know?
Good news department, Nashville's like the destination for bachelorette parties nowadays. So if any of our listeners are getting married and are female, this is where you go, apparently, for a bachelorette party.
All right, Timmy, what's your story?
All right, let's go then to my pick. I've been a Patsy Cline fan my whole life. Kind of got a thing for Hank Williams as well, so I've been debating between a Patsy song and a Hank Williams song. But then one of my favorite all-time songs was recorded in Nashville, and I just discovered that this afternoon when I was looking at all these famous albums that were recorded in Nashville. And John Hiatt, I don't know if you guys like John Hiatt, but he has a song called Slow Turning, which is a lovely little song to leave this podcast with. Let's go.
All right, here we go.
Was a boy, I thought he just came to the earth, but I never could tell what's mine, so it didn't matter anyway. My only pride and joy was his racket down here, banging on an old guitar, singing what I had to say. Been a slow turning from the inside out, a slow turning, baby. What you come about?
Ben, do you like the line toward the end of the song? Now I'm in my car. Ooh, I got the radio down. Now I'm yelling at the kids in the back because they're banging like Charlie Watts.
I love it. So that song great. Is great.
John Hyatt,
like up-tempo John Hyatt, very happy.
Is he?
Yeah, it's my fourth favorite song on that record, but that's because it's a good record.
It's his fourth favorite.
Drive record. South, Trudy and Dave, George DeRay, maybe Tennessee Plates. It's a great record.
Would it surprise you or dismay you if a Tim Plain in his 20s sometimes confused John Hyatt and Steve Earle? And maybe I thought they were the same person at some point.
I think it would upset them, but no, I don't have any problem with that.
You're good. Okay, good. And on this podcast, Tim has learned.
I thought you were going to say John Hiatt and John, John Prine.
Oh, I thought that was the obvious one.
Oh, no. Oh. Oh, I had that. Okay, good. All right, gentlemen, the week ahead, how are your lives? Good? Good week coming up for you?
My youngest daughter coming in for spring break on Saturday morning in the Red Eye, so we'll be hanging out. It'll be really good. We got awesome. Tennessee in the SEC Championship Tournament for basketball.
Let's go.
Minus our best player, which is worrisome, injured for the year.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, bump it along. I've got a bunch of a big pile of midterms to grade, so that's the less fun part of it.
That's the less fun part. Jeff Simons?
I got the oldest child coming home for spring break on
Saturday.
Let's
go. Woo.
So that's pretty exciting. And then I will also be cheering on Tennessee in the SEC tournament. And your UNC Asheville.
They're in the Bulldogs. I'm excited.
Did they win their conference?
7.
They did.
That's fantastic.
So they're moving on.
What conference are they in?
Yes.
They're in the Big South, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Big South. Thank you. So my oldest, Jeff Simons, before she comes home for spring break on Monday, she's flying out your way. Her North Carolina Frisbee team has a big tournament out at Stanford. So your number one ranked UNC Pleiades are coming out to throw the frisbee and take home some trophies.
Why are they the Pleiades?
The Pleiades are the seven sisters.
I know that. Why aren't they the Tar Heels?
Well, they are the Tar Heels, but their club is also called the Pleiades.
I got it.
It's a club, not a necessarily.
I love that your daughter found a club and figured out a way to win a national championship with said club. I won't just play Frisbee. I will dominate Frisbee.
She's no dummy. Meanwhile, Flannery is in Florida with a friend. Patrick is in Costa Rica on a school trip. And the robot lady is in Italy on a school trip. So right now, at home, it's me and Henny.
Hi.
Henry. I said, what do you want to do last night? And he's like, I want to go to a restaurant I've never been to before. I said, okay, what restaurant? The Olive Garden.
Nice.
Let's go.
Unlimited breadsticks.
A lot of breadsticks.
Are you both, Tim, are you both wearing pants at the current moment?
We're in, yeah. Both wearing pants so far.
A+ parenting. Very impressive. Still,
I disagree. You've got to lead by example, Timmy. No pants. Come on. The ladies aren't home. Let's pan it up.
And also, I haven't told you guys this or our listeners, there's a new puppy there on the pillow.
Aw.
And his name is Jerome.
Nice. That's great. Do you have another dog named Jesse? So you could say, Jesse, now Jerome.
I was going to say, Jerome, when the solo's through.
Better.
Excellent. All right. And on that note, gentlemen, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
Can't wait to find out where we're going next.
Yeah. Can't wait either. Bye.
Bye, friends.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Pact podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us. From renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Pact podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.
Mile, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the Wanna Bet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wanna Bet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electric acid. Electric acid.